Welcome to the future of teamwork. I'm Dane Grunewald, and today we're doing something a little bit different. We're bringing you inside a super impactful exercise that we often run with our clients. I'm joined today by Dr. Alicia McCraw. As you know, Alicia is the producer of the podcast. If you're a regular listener, you'll appreciate her name. And if you're a guest, you may well have worked with her to schedule your show. She's also a sociologist, a researcher, and a writer. And also, we're joined by our colleague, David Bumby. David is a human capital strategist with more than 20 years of experience helping organizations to navigate phases of hypergrowth and significant transformation. So David's going to guide Alicia and me through a values-defining exercise. As I said, we do this with a number of clients, and it's going to help us sharpen up and operationalize the core values behind the Future of Teamwork brand. David, Alicia, it's great to have you both here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You bet. So we've been building this podcast now for 3.5 years. I think we've recorded almost 200 shows. It continues to be a gift. We get to meet awesome people. We get to circle some very cool themes and tools and practices. And then we just launched our first Healthy Team Summit with Leader this fall. So there's lots of really cool things happening. And we thought we've actually got to pause here and consider, what is the podcast's role in supporting all of this work that we do, and what values are emerging as we've been running this podcast? What are we learning from guests? What are we learning from ourselves as how we take it forward? So let's do some building in public.
Love it. Well, look, we were talking just before we click record just then about understanding that values are key when it comes to making decisions in businesses. And obviously, as you just kind of framed, you hadn't necessarily been thinking of the podcast as an organization in its own right. So I think this is a really interesting jumping off point, because there's obviously this interconnectivity between kind of your operating system or your system of work, your mission, your vision, and then your values as well, and how you turn up every day for work. So I think the first question I'd love to ask both of you is why now, right? That's often the question that gets asked. Why now? Why is this the moment that you feel it's right to start doing values work and really kind of understanding who you are?
I'm going to go to Alicia on that, because it was her idea when we were doing our podcast catch up last week.
And it may not be a good idea. To me, there's these themes or mantras or ethos that keep coming up on the podcast that now inform the way that I view the world of work. And I want to crystallize that. When I was thinking about that, it then helped me realize the ways that it could help us think about how we make decision-making, which guests we have, what we focus on, what questions are important to ask. So that would be my answer. What about you, Dane?
Love that. Double click on that. I love the inform the way I view the world of work. I think the more we get into this, we started the podcast with a level of interest and intrigue around how teams do their best work and why they fall out of those patterns, and what we're already seeing that works well that other people should be adopting. And I think as AI is coming to bear, as I'm going through my own life changes, fourth kid, selling a business, starting to come to terms with the fact that burnout may be real. There's a lot of stuff going on, and I'm like, we need to spread more of the goodness. So to Alicia's point, I think if we can be more clear on who we're serving and what we're serving and how people can take that forwards, then that's probably going to create more impact, more positivity for people in our community.
Got it. And I love that. Alicia, you said a word just then that really resonates with me. And often when we're doing values work, people say, well, we don't need values because we have this kind of undertow or undercurrent of how we operate. Everybody knows it. And that's great in certain size businesses, but that's that ethos that you're talking about. It's kind of like the spiritual guidance of, yeah, this is how we do it. But obviously, as you said, you want to crystallize that and make it very clear. And values is kind of like creating those non-negotiable guiding principles. So suddenly this ethos becomes slightly less ethereal and becomes a little bit more concentrated and clear. And then you tie obviously the behaviors of what that looks like being demonstrated. And then additionally on top of that, you then start to look at the actions that employees and people within the business or the organization do as well. So it's these kind of four things that they really layer on top of one another to really kind of create your North Star is how you should be conducting oneself within the way of work. So a way of working. Yeah. So I love that.
And this morning while I was reflecting, getting ready for this conversation, I was thinking about like, okay, what are the values that I think? And one was like, respect that people are going to do the work. And I realized that that is a permission I don't give myself. Like I always feel like I need to be green on team. So that way my boss knows that I'm working. Whereas my own boss has said, like, I don't care when you work, just do it. You know what I mean? So, like, can values create permissions?
What a great insight. Yeah, I love that.
I actually think Gary Ridge, who's been getting a lot of my attention lately, talks to that with his hierarchy of values from the days at WD-40. Yes. And he uses it as a way to give people permission to make decisions, whether it's a decision about when you work, it's a decision about which supplier you use, it's a decision about how you develop a new product. I think tying that in concretely is something that's missing right now. And I think it's a great value to be leading with. So I wonder if that is in and of itself of our first value, you know, our values create the permissions and clarity on how to make decisions. It's a bit of a circular reference, but who knows?
It is. Specifically for values, there's a lot of people who use this expression, kind of how do you get values off of the walls and into the halls, right? This idea has been around in the work we do for years and years and years. But there's an alternative version, which I actually prefer, which is values are learned in the halls and then not learned off the walls, implying that they are already happening within the business. It's very hard to change how you operate because you've managed to put a different, you know, poster up on the wall to say, hey, this is how we should be operating. So that's the other thing. Values aren't, you know, they're not supposed to be like aspirational decorations. If everybody's of a certain age, they'll remember if they were going, you know, in classrooms across the UK and America, I understand, was that picture of that cat hanging on to the like the piece of rope, and it says, you know, I can't remember the exact words it said, but it's something that says like work hard or hang on, it's going to be better type thing. That isn't what values are. People used to think that out. They're not at all. It is actually the whole purpose of this is we're trying to build a system of work that then ends up becoming like a decision filter. So it helps everything become easier. So with that being said, let's dive into it. So what I kind of thought, we'd work through a very lightweight version of a values kind of exercise. Typically, I want to understand and reveal what the existing values in the business are. Then we need to test them. Then we need to actually put them into kind of observable behaviors that you two will be operating within. And then how do we integrate them into like day-to-day life? So I think with that being said, let me throw some questions at you for once. So let's start with our first prompt question, which I think is, can you guys think of a situation or a time where you had to kind of kill an idea for the podcast or perhaps change your thoughts on a guest that may have looked good on paper, but then it just didn't feel right to you, you know, deep in your gut emotionally? Can you think of an example? And then what was the principle that drove that decision?
I can think of one. I won't name names, but we had a guest come on the show. We didn't release it. And I felt that the way they spoke about teams was somewhat paternalistic and demeaning in a certain way. So it was just a lot of like data and reference. And I'm very like biased towards experiential and human emotion. And I felt that that was just too scientific an approach for where we're trying to leverage the energy and the brilliance of people on teams right now. My whole fascination with teamwork is moving away from the militaristic, you know, think, tell, do, and moving more to the distributed, like leverage the energy and the fringes of the team, still to have absolute impact, still to bring shareholder value and returns to the bottom line, but doing it in a more modern and fluid way. So that particular guest was just you know, out of date, in my opinion. And I think Alicia and I agreed pretty quickly and moved forwards.
And to me, if we're thinking about the same one, it's not the data that I remember being the reason we pulled it. In my mind, I felt that the individual spoke down to you and spoke down to the viewers. And that's not something we think you do in a team.
Yeah. I love that you called that out, too, Alicia, because one of my emerging views through the podcast has been that there, that HR is very monolithic and that we're not here to solve HR. Like, I think a lot of people come at that from that perspective, but we're actually here to identify the brilliant moments, the workouts, the inspiration doses that help teams activate on a daily basis, reset on a periodic basis, not hey, here's the playbook.
Agreed. And to me, the future of teamwork is this workplace that everybody wants to go to. Now, it's tinged with Dane's viewpoint because it has to be. He's the host. But it's a place. And so you take from it what you need to create this workplace that everybody wants to go to. We all know that crazy statistics that's like, you're going to spend X percent of your life at work, right? So like, you should be empowered to go and have a good time.
Got it. Okay.
And put costumes on every now and again.
And river, and the appearances from Dane's alter ego that I call River Moonshine. Exactly. Anyway, okay, great examples there. So keep thinking through that in your mind, right? What does that equate to in a value? But let me give you another prompt question quickly as well, just to kind of go through that. So has there been a time when it's come to the podcast, please refer it to the podcast, where you've either spent money or time that perhaps you didn't have? Both of you are incredibly busy people. So time from that, think of it as a currency. So has there been a time as a podcast producer or podcast host that you have committed to spending money or spent time that you didn't have? And why did you do that? What was it about that made you say, this is what we should be doing, this is the right thing, even though it's stretching me financially or stretching me from a time perspective?
I can definitely think of a few, but one that pops to mind, Alicia, I don't know if this works for you, but some of our work that we've done in and around Boundary Riders and Ernesto Ciroli's research on enterprise facilitation and, you know, seeking out the brilliance of other people. I think we've often put a lot of time into those experiments, you know, adjacent to the show, report on sort of guests that aren't necessarily a perfect fit for the show because we want to understand what is it that they see that we may not be seeing yet. And how can we help learn from them and perhaps join the dots so that they can connect to customers, partners, research that may take their perceived future into reality.
And I hope this is tangential. I would say that I think I don't know how this exists as a value or behavior, is curiosity, right? And so everybody has something valuable to say. I think that's something we believe. But that doesn't mean everybody has something valuable with regards to the future of teamwork, right? So we have to make these choices about who do we have on the podcast, who do we not have on the podcast, while still valuing the idea that everybody has something to say.
I think that's a really interesting point you make though, Alicia and Dane, how you say it. Is that curiosity to learn? Is that a fair value if we were to look at, is that something that you think you could both align on as being perhaps how you're looking to run the business? But then does that contradict what you were saying before about somebody that was perhaps had a less human-centric approach or perhaps spoke down to the audience?
It's a really good call out. And, you know, one thing that I've learned from Dane, just like in like mentoring moments, I've been like, I'm reaching this conflict, what do I do? And he's like, call it out, say it. And so, in retrospect, was that, as the host, something you needed to do, Dane? But then, I don't know, is that disrespectful to the guest to be like, I kind of feel like you're talking down to me?
Perhaps, but I think what was the let's go back, just pull it back a little bit. I am asking around this curiosity to learn, which I think is actually a real pillar of what you're talking about here and could potentially be a value. Yet, often, and this happens with values, by the way, if it doesn't happen, you've been far too vague with values, is normally my feedback, but there should be some tension between them. If your value is curiosity to learn, yet there was somebody who came on who had a differing opinion and perhaps didn't offer it in the way that you felt was fair or any of these kind of things, then are you truly acting from a place of curiosity to learn? Now, maybe we just need to add context to this curiosity to learn value to say, you know, we have a curiosity to learn in an equal and, from a footing of equality and peer-to-peer or however we want to wordsmith it. That's my question, I think. Is that curiosity to learn actually a value for the podcast? That's a question. And then what was the value that stopped that other podcast being released?
I think there's two values here which reinforce yep. each other is what I'm hearing. One is mm-hmm. we experiment and hold curiosity for what may be possible. The second one is while we celebrate problems, we're not here to solve them. We're not here to fix them. We don't have a singular view of what works. And so if we're curious about a guest and then we run into a problem where we're like, that doesn't fit with our philosophy, we're not going to go back and fix that guest. We're going to be like, we're just not going to release that guest. I'm not going to give them the feedback. I'm not here to change their life experience or what they're sharing with the world, because that may be valuable to other people. I'm just going to hold true to what resonates for me and my values. And I actually took this from the conversation cards we built at the Healthy Team Summit.
Yeah.
Where one of the ground rules is when you're sitting there having these really meaningful connection conversations with team members, is that we're here to listen. We're not here to judge. We're not here to fix. We're not here to give you empathy. We're here to listen, and we'll shine a light on the parts that are exciting. And it's important that we know what's there, and then how we or a listener will choose to take that forwards is up to them. But I do think that there's something interesting there.
Got it. And like we said, this is you could spend hours and hours doing these type of exercises. And genuinely, I would recommend that perhaps we do that at another time. But if we start to kind of put some words to what these values are that we've identified in those two situations, and obviously you can have multiple values, but it what's coming to mind if you wanted to kind of create the words that embodies those values that you've just described?
I've been scribbling down a bunch, but I'll let you go first, Alicia.
Well, this is creating a call out to me. Can values be hierarchical?
Two thumbs up on that. Yes.
And great question.
And that's the Gary Rich story too.
Yes.
But I don't think we can design the hierarchy until we've got them all on the board. It's like the stack rank, isn't it?
Stop stealing my thunder, Dane. Yes, 100%, right? Yeah, exactly that. You've got to create at least enough of these kind of, you use the word ethos again, Alicia, you're absolutely right. The spiritual kind of like undertow that's dragging you along. But if you were to try and put the values over the top of it, yes, there's of course going to be some that are stronger than others, but until you've identified them, you can't prioritize them. Yeah.
Okay, so we've got be curious.
Let's go with that, yep. And this is just a call out as well. It is not my place to give you the words here. They've got to be your words.
And we shouldn't wordsmith. Let's just knock them out for what they are and then work with them.
I think the first one is be curious. Like never think that you have all the answers and continue to display an interest in the knowledge that you can gain from other people.
Okay. Dane?
I've definitely heard there's this one on don't fix or judge. I think that they kind of work together. And probably one that tied to Alicia's, believing in the brilliance of others. I think that's an important one. I also think, I don't know exactly how to catch it in words, but whether it's shared leadership or distributed leadership, I think that's a really important one in the podcast.
And is there this foundation about the way you treat people? There's something to me about the treatment of people that's like the foundation of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Like respect people, trust people. I don't know.
Yeah, if we had a big whiteboard up right now, I'd probably put there's a link between this don't fix or judge and respect there. I think there's certainly a link between those two.
I also think we're doubling down on human, right? Like one reason that I don't like formal education and academia is that it creates this. I know we've got really interesting, really interesting viewpoints here. But one thing that I personally don't like is I don't want to have to footnote and reference everything. I don't want to have to prove everything. I want to go with the emerging energy and spark of inspiration that comes from a conversation. So if someone says something wrong, or if someone says something, they paraphrase something and they can't give you the original reference, or if they get my name wrong, I'm like, that's cool. I'm looking for the sparks right now. I'm not here to grade your paper.
Love it. Okay. I've written, I shouldn't be prompting, but I've written like embrace the human energy. And I think there's something around, it was really interesting. Just going back to one of our revelation questions we asked, you mentioned it was too scientific. It didn't feel human, right? And we're in this world right now where we're about to see we are in the process of seeing the greatest transformation within the workplace since the Industrial Revolution. And the human side, every single piece of research I've read, every single piece says that's the part that we only us can create. So I think that idea of remaining human and that connectivity and thinking from a human-centric lens is really key. So, okay.
It's interesting on that, not to go too far down the rabbit hole, but I was out on a Saturday night with two brilliant academics, like PhDs, next level, hard science, right? Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the future and we were talking about history. And one of the cool things we were saying is like, the reason that human civilization has achieved what it has is because we can actually operate in the imaginary,
right?
So by scientists have succeeded, and these are two hard scientists, like material scientists, because they've imagined something that may be possible and gone to seek an answer, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's maybe become a little bit warped in more recent times, where we've looked to thought leaders and academics for the absolute answer, and AI is now serving up absolute answers, absolute in quotation marks. But I think it's really interesting that, you know, if you do imagine what might be possible, going back to Alicia's point, the workplace that everyone wants to go to, then that might help you shape something that isn't conventional wisdom, that it is a shift away from the past.
And you see it with children all the time as well, talking about the imagination. So I love where you're going there and saying, hey, did you think this is possible? Do you think this is possible? Which I think is really the other question, that curiosity piece. Okay. Well, moving on, we've started to talk a little bit about the prioritization here, but I would say if you were to, the prompt question for the next piece is now we start to test them, right? Are they real? Is there any tension between them? Are they a little too generic? And I appreciate we haven't really wordsmithed and we haven't really worked it out exactly right now. But if there was a crisis, right? As in, Alicia, you wake up one day and the podcast is having technical difficulties and you can't get the guest online or all these things. What's the most important way for you to operate, and which of these values wins in a crisis?
When we have a crisis, which we never really have a crisis, but they feel like a real crisis to me, I think back to this one time where we couldn't get the HD rendering to happen on YouTube. And I was like, I'm not going to put up a poor video quality. So I called Dane panicky because I'm like, we're not going to be able to release today. And mm-hmm. he was like, that's okay. I hired humans, not robots, so that way, and humans make mistakes. And so I just always go back to that when I feel like I'm in crisis mode.
Mm-hmm.
So is that back to that human piece we're talking about? I mean, I guess it quite literally is.
Yeah. Like I said, I had it as embrace the human energy. I don't want to put words in your guys' mouths, but yeah, I think that is very true.
I just accidentally muted Alicia, so I apologize. I was trying to unmute myself and both mute buttons look exactly the same. So sorry, Alicia.
What's happening?
I was about to ask, can I share a screen here?
Yeah.
It looks like I've got a share option, so let me just throw this up here. Screen. Well, let me pick which screen. That one. All right, let's see what this does. Does this mess with your world?
Oh, here we go. No, this is what we probably should have done to the beginning to start with. Yeah.
So I've kind of, forget the words, I've kind of got six of those mm-hmm. values here, but what I heard, and I love using Mural, is that if I go in here and I like put a big tick, the big tick, the big green tick that I heard Alicia say is this double down on human was probably a top value. So that might be top of the tree.
And interestingly, if we go back to that revelation question, that was probably the one that it hit, you know, when we talk about that specific scenario you gave regarding the scientific piece, it was perhaps not human enough, talking down to data, kind of paternalistic. Yeah, exactly. So I think that's fair. Which do you see as competing, which values compete with each other, do you believe anyway? Like, are there any that you see, sit here and go, how can you do A without doing B, or how does this play out?
So I love don't fix or judge others, but the goal of the podcast is to like improve teamwork, right? So isn't that kind of fixing things?
It's brilliant. It's a great question. And one thing that I'm learning through all of my self-work right now, whether it's like Daily Stoic with Ryan Holiday or working with a coach or a therapist, is that I'm not here to fix them. I'm here to build a bridge so that we can respond to each other's innate strengths and challenges in different ways. So I actually don't think I'm changing myself or another person. I think I'm building a workout or a language or a process, a system of work, so that I can work better with someone who's very different to me. But that's not fixing them. And if they choose to change their behavior along the way or learn something different, that's great. So I think it's a really interesting nuance. I want to fix teams. I don't want to fix people. And I think the team is more the system of how people work together, rather than saying, you need to get better at how you approach conflict. I think that's actually really dangerous. I think old school HR has gone and coaching has gone way too heavily down that path. What I'm learning from guests of the show is to kind of say, hey, it's important, Alicia, that I understand what you disagree with here. Here is a way that we may be able to bring that out without saying, Alicia, it's upon you to be shouting out about this problem. You need to get better at it. I think that there's going to be a more sustainable way for teams and organizations to build those workouts to bring in at different times, rather than relying on fixing individual people or judging individual people.
I think that's brilliant. I think there's an additional part to that, which says that there's nothing wrong with enabling change, which it sounds like, right? You know, whether it's a change of mindset, you're providing new ideas, which then in turn enables change or builds that bridge, as you were describing. But we're not actively going to say, you need to change in these ways, to i.e. fix somebody, right? Yeah. So somebody or fix a team, yeah.
So it's both what Alicia said. We're going to fix the team, but we're not going to fix the person. We're going to fix the system of work, not who's on the team or how they work.
Fix the system. I think that's great. You pretty much come up with your mission and vision as well, by the way, by saying fix the system rather than the people, right? I think there's a real jumping off point there for you to look at via mission statements. Okay, I think we can move on, but I think it's great that we've kind of identified the main or the highest priority right now, this double down on being human. Yeah. And I'm sure we could put all the rest of them in a stack rank if we needed to as well. And by the way, there is no harm in there being tension between them, as I said before, because if there isn't, it's often that it's because they're too generic and you go, yeah, it kind of lets us avoid that. I like the fact that there's a little bit of conflict between them sometimes, because, you know, think of companies that say, you know, we're highly respectful, but then they say we're highly respectful of our customers' needs, but then internally they have minimal respect for their employees and such. You've really got to be able to clarify what means what for these people. Okay.
Yeah.
The next part of this that we just we can quickly look at, and I think maybe we focus just on one of these values to try and get the answers here, and we'll focus on our priority one. So double down on the human. Let's just use that terminology. If somebody is doing this value, right, as strange as that sounds, on a day-to-day basis, and if they were taking it seriously, what does that look like? What is a behavior that you'll see or embodies it?
Alicia, what are your thoughts?
I wonder if we've created two two meanings with Double Down on the Human, because to me, the most important, like, I keep wanting to come back to being respectful, but is that doubling down on the human?
I think what you are perhaps leaning into here, Alicia, is where your personal values intertwine with your business values.
And that's, I was perfectly curious about that. How do you disentangle those?
The answer to that is not a simple one. But typically, people, when you see a higher retention in businesses of their employees, it's often that their personal values align very clearly with the business values and what they stand for and what they believe. So it's okay not to disentangle right now. I say to me, what are your personal values? I love this exercise. So feel free to build those out. But I think when we're thinking it from a business perspective, just be conscious of try and put yourself in the shoes of somebody else and what they see when they read Double Down on the Human, rather than just what does Alicia see when she sees Double Down on the Human. So okay. So how does that manifest?
So then I think it's Double Down on the Human is, it's so many things. It's being curious about people. It's being excited to work with others and to see what humanity they bring to the work. I don't know, Dane, how does that land with you?
Very well. Yeah, it's interesting. I actually think you're right. I think doubling down on human, believing in brilliance of others, being curious, it's all one thing. It's some might be behaviors and how you live the first value of doubling down on human.
And then again, David, I know you said, you know, we kind of have to keep the personal, but also think about where they're intertwining. If I think about what Dane just described, when you engage that way, you are being respectful.
Yeah, 100%. They are not mutually exclusive, by the way. Not mutually exclusive at all. So let me just hold your feet to the fire a little bit again and just reiterate that question. What does it look like from it? You know, ironically, what does a human look like when they are embracing or doubling down on the human behavior? What is that behavior you would see?
I think you're inquisitive. You're open-minded. And again, is it assume positive intent as you engage with them?
Sure. But what does that look like? Take it from the inside your mind to the physical. How does that person behave?
They ask questions.
Sure. Keep going.
There's no wrong answer. Assumptions. You're engage with people with an excitement to see what you can learn from them.
I love that. Got it. Okay. Dane, what about you? What kind of, give Alicia time to think a bit more. What about you? What is the behavior for that very specific value for, you know, doubling down on the human? What does that look like? How does somebody turn up on a day-to-day basis and say, or do, rather than say do, what do they do?
Yeah, I think the do is interesting. I've often encouraged people on my teams to be impatient and to be vocal. And at times that's been an absolute landmine that I've set on the teams that I've built and led. Because it's unharnessed, right? The be vocal and be impatient can lead to a lot of complaining, whining, accountability gaps. I think what we're getting at on the double down on human is that we need to believe in the team, that we need to have the psychological safety to say whatever work we're doing, whatever problem we're having, this isn't serving the team's objective. And I think that's really critical.
Let's flip that question around then. And sometimes this helps when we look at it from the other side. What behavior would violate that value?
That's a great question. I think the clear value that violates is coming in and not sharing something that's causing a problem. You know, burying your head in the sand about a team member that might not be clear on what we're trying to do here or might not be contributing. Another one might be circumventing someone. You know, we're going to work around that person because they're a troublemaker or they don't understand what we're doing. That's really dangerous on a team. It's very dangerous to the podcast. If we decide someone's not for us, we can have that conversation and make that choice. But if they're still on the team, we shouldn't be going around their backs.
And to a word that you like to use, Dane, there was a lot of negative mythologies about human individuals that exist, particularly when it comes to work. And I think it's not engaging in those negative mythologies. Everyone's lazy. No one wants to work. Like, those types of mythologies are not doubling down on the human.
Yes, there's a rationale behind people's behaviors. And we've got to understand what it is first. But yeah, I think I agree with what Dane's saying here. The circumventing, the working around people, the not sharing.
Punishing people for bad ideas. Like, none of that's doubling down on human. Punishing people unnecessarily for a failed deliverable. I mean, I see that too many times in too many businesses. Like, we're either going to agree that it was a learning moment, or we're going to agree that it wasn't a learning moment, and what's next? Like, let's not ruminate on the miss.
I like that too. The idea, it's almost like that idea of being able to move forward as well, right? Yeah, the rumination is actually is more damaging the failure than the failure, right? Yeah, and then, kind of the question that I normally ask, kind of to refine these kind of behaviors, and obviously we're doing a speed run of this, is there suddenly thinking about that value and the behaviors that you've started to identify, the actual doing, what it looks like, feels like, and actually people do on a day-to-day basis to embody that. Is there a decision that has either previously been made, or you're waiting to make, or you may make, that suddenly becomes obvious if you view it through the lens of this value, and does that decision then feel like the right decision? What decision does this value, doubling down on the human, suddenly make obvious? Now, the additional prompts are, perhaps it's a past decision that's been made that you were sitting with going, was that right, yes or no? Or perhaps it's one that you've got going on right now. And then the other prompt is, maybe there's one that's like, oh, this is really expensive, but we should do it because this value states we should. Or this is really inconvenient, but we should do it because this value states.
I'm gonna throw this one out. It's not directly the podcast, but it's a result of the podcast. But Kurt Landon and the Inspira business. We met Kurt as a guest of the podcast. A good friend, Jason Falchuk, had heard my podcast, and then he was an advisor to Kurt's business, and he said, you need to talk to Kurt. So we got Kurt on the podcast. We got to know him, and we learned that the business was going through some challenging times. But we loved Kurt. We loved Jenna and Alan and the team that we got to meet. And we looked at this thing and we were like, this is a group of people who are doing amazing work for great customers. And while the business model isn't working right now, we want to get curious. We want to get involved with it. We want to take it forwards. And so we doubled down on human, and we made the acquisition, not on the basis of traditional acquisition methods, you know, looking at P&L and balance sheet and everything else, but in the belief that there was something there was a brilliance there to unlock, and that we wanted to be a part of it. And so there's an example that not many people would have followed in our footsteps, but we were living the values of the podcast. We created this business, and we've gone forwards and we've continued, I think, to double down on the human, perhaps too much in isolation at times, but it's serving us. It's creating the Healthy Team Summit. It's creating a whole movement that I'm really excited about. And I see as kind of the evolution of the podcast and the business coming together to create, a way to scale impact for a million teams.
Yeah, I think that's great. That's the value at work, as it were. Right. That's key.
Alicia, anything you would add or challenge there?
Wow. I mean, that's the answer. That's a great example of doubling down on the human.
So then we'll just quickly move on to the final part that we will do here, which is really about integrating suddenly these behaviors into how you operate. Okay. And it sounds, which is great, this is why we do this revelation, because the values kind of exist. The ethos is there. The values just need to be pulled out from it. But how do we integrate the behaviors, the day-to-day kind of activity, how you show up, the do, into the way that we operate? So I've got three prompt questions here, and we'll just go through them one after another very quickly. The next decision, and I need you to recite this, right? The next decision I face where this value should guide me is what? Do you have It's a bit of a Mad Lib. Dane loves a Mad Lib, but yeah, let's do a Mad Lib for this. The next decision where this value should guide me is.
I think the next decision that this value of doubling down on human.
Yeah.
With respect to the podcast, I think the decision is I want to put law of the podcast, guidance, steering in the hands of the people that we're serving, the guests, the listeners. Because if we're truly going to live doubling down on human, then it shouldn't just be Alicia and I sitting up here in our digital box saying this is what the future of teamwork is. It should be us saying we're going to go out and believe in the brilliance of others. What ideas have you got? What could we be doing with this podcast, with this platform, with this community? And we should be experimenting, like we should be leaning into that with curiosity. So I think that would be the single decision that I would come to from this exploration of that value.
That's a really key point you just hit as well, because we didn't even go into this from a time crunch, but often you have to think of values not only internally from everybody at different role and duties within a business, right? How does that show up for them? But additionally for the individuals outside your business, perhaps clients or vendors, how does that look? So I think that's a really good connection to that, Dane, and saying like the value, if this is the value I'm thinking of it from a listener's standpoint and saying, what do they want to hear and see? Listening from a guest standpoint, how do they want to be experienced and heard as well? I think that's great. Alicia, anything on that one?
I think it creates as I produce the podcast, I'm going to ask myself, how can I, in writing the intro, in thinking about the show notes, how can I double down on the human with the guest? And then as we strategically move forward, for instance, our next series drop is going to be on mattering. How do we double down on the human as we produce a series on mattering at work?
Final question then, because values without behavioral change is really basically expensive poetry, right? It's like, oh, cool words. Yeah, great. But what behavior will I stop immediately with regards to the podcast to make sure I embody this value?
Can I do what I want to do more of?
No, we need to stop.
That would be my next question.
Let's find a stop.
I like stop. Stop's harder. Stop's harder, and intentionally so, because it drives you to think of that. Stopping is the hardest change, right? That's habitual. Starting something new, you build habits, yeah.
I think a lot of times I can assume that I know everything. And so I need to stop assuming I know the situation and get curious and ask questions.
I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I think if the world did that and was willing to listen to the answers, this is the other point. You can ask the question, but if you're willing to listen to the answers, right? I think that's great.
I've got one that I would add. If I'm truly going to double down on human, I might need to get a little bit more interested in how my guests want to run the show too. Like I'm still the ultimate like host and decision maker, but I had a great guest on the show the other day, Farah Mitra, and she really doesn't like to just live in conversation, which is where I love to live. So going back to not fixing people and doubling down on human, maybe I could have spent a little bit more time actually prepping of the show and the conversation to really shine the light on her and her best. I'm going to stop just winging it on podcasts. I'm actually going to stop just turning up with pure curiosity, and I'm actually going to do a little bit more prep work.
So like that was a fun exercise, and like I said, lightweight, we're obviously up on time. But
as we wrap up, though, you're right. It's a great exercise. I'd love to just share what I came up with in Mural as we went through it. So interestingly, as we went through it, just that conversation, I was working in the background. I kind of pulled a few of these values from over here on the left together, like double down on human, believe in brilliance of others, be curious, made some comments, shared distributed leadership, made some comments, and then don't judge, fix others, follow energy. I like to work in threes, no surprises. So I kind of started coming back to, if we could build our three values in that vein and going back to your, what do we need to start doing now? I will stop winging it, but the engaging our guests and listeners in shaping the podcast of what we do in the community, that's a really big unlock for me, regardless of whatever wordsmithing we come back to the values on.
I think as we continue to build this community that we've all been involved in through the Healthy Team Summit and also that general kind of work within this space that we do across Leader and with the Future of Teamwork podcast, I think there is so much human energy out there that we are yet to harness. Mm-hmm. And it's we always talk about this, it seems so simple when you have a moment to speak about it. So yeah, I love that idea of how do we, it's almost leaning into every value to understand how we progress the business, you know, building a vision based upon the values rather than values based upon the vision, which I think is really, really quite an interesting way to go.
Big time.
Alicia, anything to add?
No, I think I'm just soaking it all in.
And wondering how much new work we've just created for us.
Yeah.
Love it.
I'll add a little bit of a summary here then. I think, you know, we went through this incredibly quickly. This could be a whole day workshop, sometimes longer. And in that, there's lots of areas we need to focus on. But I think what's key for you two, Dane and Alicia, is to really understand or really define the behaviors. As we said at the very beginning, you know, take these values off the walls. We don't just want posters that look great. We want actually and into the hallways, right? So it's very clear that we have to build the behaviors, and the behaviors are what somebody does on a day-to-day basis, how they act on a day-to-day basis. So that's clear. And I happen to agree with you, Dane. I think six is too many values, candidly. Otherwise, it's just words. And the other part to really lean back into is this idea of it's a system of work. So when it comes to decisions, when it comes to crises, lean into your values entirely. So that's really key, I think. Lean into them in crises, and then you know if they really stand up.
That's it. Well, thank you, David, for guiding us through the conversation. Alicia, thanks for putting this idea into orbit. And I'm excited to take it to the next step and maybe share our next level thinking in another show. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
If you're listening and you're facing a challenge on your team, something complex, something sticky, something you haven't quite figured out, we want to hear it. Share the problem you're navigating. We can keep it anonymous if you prefer. And our promise is that we'll search for the right specialist to help us explore that challenge on a future episode. Because if you're dealing with it, chances are other leaders are too. And your question might be the spark someone else needs. You can send your challenge directly to info@thefutureofteamwork.com. Just a quick note before we go. The views and opinions shared in this episode are those of our guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host, Dane Gruneveld, the Leader Group, our patron Huddle 3, or our partners and affiliates. Any scenarios discussed are for the purpose of fueling creative thinking and conversation and should be viewed only in this context. Dane, Leader, our sponsors, partners, and affiliates do not endorse any guest or any organization they may be associated with. It's important to remember that every workplace is as individual as the people within it. Our recommendation is to always seek solutions that are specifically designed to help serve your team's unique needs. And to this point, please know we're here, ready to help you find the best way forward, no matter where your starting point is. You can connect with Dane or myself, Alicia McCraw, on LinkedIn or via the links contained in the show notes. Thanks again for tuning in. And hey, if you think someone in your network would benefit from this episode, feel free to share it or give us a 5-star rating. Those 5 little stars really help us reach more curious people like you. We'll catch you next time on the Future of Teamwork.